Well, welcome to this precious time together. I hope you are well physically and ready spiritually as we come before the Lord together in this way. My name is Ben. It is my great privilege to lead us in the Lord this morning. Just before we get in, let me remind you that we have our Zoom prayer meeting this week. If you're able to join, that would be great. And also today we're continuing in the book of Proverbs. Well, let's begin as we ought by bringing ourselves before the Lord in humility and in hope. I'm going to read a verse and then let's take a moment in the silence to bring ourselves before the Lord, perhaps to be still before him in confession or praise. Psalm 143 and verse 8. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. Together, do join me in your heart as I lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we adore you. We praise you, for you alone are from everlasting to everlasting. You are the creator of the heavens. You are high and lifted up. You are without equal, awesome in words and in deed, full of glory, power and splendor, full of mercy and steadfast love, full of grace. And Jesus, we worship you. You came to us. You alone lived the sinless life. And you took our sin upon yourself. You died and you were buried, and on the third day you rose, and you ascended into heaven, and you are now seated at the right-hand side of the Father, and to you has been given the kingdom and the name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we praise you, for you will return in glory to gather us into heaven. And so we long and we look to that day when we will receive the crown of life, when we will enter into your very presence and cast our crowns before you in worship and wonder. Spirit, we pray you would help us in our weakness now. Encourage us and strengthen us. Lift our eyes to the Son, that we might have a renewed and refreshed hope. In the gathering gloom of this world, in the difficulties we are going through, in the worries and cares, would you shine on us and in us, that we this morning would hear from you and grow in you, and we would be the beacons of light you call us to be in this dark world. So thank you for this time. Thank you for time now to sing, to pray, to worship you, to hear your word. Lord, would you speak into our hearts? By your Spirit we pray. Amen.
Our reading this morning is from Proverbs chapter 3. Wisdom bestows well-being. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them round your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favour and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honour the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honour. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. By wisdom the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge the watery depths were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. My son, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discretion. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, "Come back tomorrow and I'll give it to you," when you already have it with you. Do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. Do not accuse anyone for no reason when they have done you no harm. Do not envy the violent or choose any of their ways, for the Lord detests the perverse but takes the upright into his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. He mocks proud mockers, but shows favour to the humble and oppressed. The wise inherit honour, but fools get only shame.
Thank you. Our second reading this morning is from Proverbs chapter 4. Wisdom is supreme. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. When I was a boy in my father's house, still tender, and an only child of my mother, he taught me and said, lay hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it cost all of you, get understanding. Esteem her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honour you. She will set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendour. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked, or walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it, do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. For they cannot sleep till they do evil. They are robbed of slumber till they make someone fall. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full of light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. God bless the reading of this word.
When you think of the book of Proverbs, I wonder if any particular verses come to your mind. Hopefully, chapter 1, verse 7 does. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Or perhaps there's a verse that's become lodged in your mind because it's so unusual. Maybe like chapter 27, verse 14. Here's a verse from Proverbs for mourning people, a warning for them. If anyone loudly blesses their neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. It will be unappreciated. It will be offensive. Or maybe it's a verse from Proverbs about a gold ring in the nose and a pig's snout. Or maybe about dripping taps and complaining spouses. Or perhaps you know Proverbs 3 verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And maybe you know Proverbs 4 verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart. Well, these two are our focus this morning, and they flow actually from last Sunday morning's message, because the key to resisting the enticing voices of sinners, to staying on the right path, is the heart. Last week we heard the voice of enticement in chapter 1. Come with us, come and belong. And it's so dangerous, because the one thing which greatly hinders the glory of God in our lives, the one thing that robs God of the glory that he is due through our lives, the one thing that renders us weak and wayward in our walk is sin. It's the Christian giving in to sin. So the desire this morning is that we all meet with the Lord through his word. For some listening, perhaps for the first time, that you enter into the life of faith for the first time. For most of us, those under grace, it is that we grow in understanding, that we grow in pleasing God, in living for him, that our lives might be what they ought to be, that we progress in loving God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the goal. So as we come to this topic from God's word, which is of huge importance, of which the Bible has much to say, it's the heart. Let's pray. Father, please open our ears now to hear your voice speak to us. Open our hearts now to love your voice, and move our wills to act upon what we hear. For the glory of your name we pray. Amen. Firstly, the problem of the heart. Watch over your heart with all diligence, because from it flows the issues of life. The reality of who you are, what you are, is your heart. The Bible talks of the heart not in a kind of anatomical sense, but it talks about our hearts as the epicenter of who we really are on the inside, all we really and truly are. Your body is, in one sense, your earth suit, but the real inner you, the core of your personhood, is your heart. So if we are to truly honor God and live for him, our hearts must be right with him. They must be right before him. Because if our hearts are in the right place, then our lives will be also. Now, Proverbs has much to say about the heart. There is a reference in almost every chapter, and some chapters have lots to say. But it's mostly not great reading, because the heart of the human problem is the problem of the heart. Here's some verses. Chapter 5, verse 12, the heart rejects correction. 6, verse 14, evil and deceit is plotted in the heart. 6, verse 18, the heart devises evil schemes. 6, verse 25, it is the home of lust. 12, verse 23, it's from the heart that the fool blurts out folly. 19, verse 3, it's the place which rages against the Lord. 28, verse 14, it's capable of being hardened against the Lord. And that is a terrible thing because Proverbs tells us how the Lord weighs us. What does he put on his scales of judgment? No prizes for guessing, but chapter 21, verse 2, the Lord weighs our hearts. Now, Proverbs does not try to airbrush over our condition. It is straight talking. Chapter 7, verse 25, like a rudder, it's our hearts that turn us to wrong paths. The biggest dilemma humanity has is deep inside of us, and it's not COVID-19. Why did the monasteries not work? The idea was to be isolated from the evil in the world. No speaking, so no sin. Just lots of thoughts of God. But they made one big mistake, of course, didn't they? They put people inside them. And if our hearts are not right before God inside, it's likely that we major on behavior modification on the outside. That was the Pharisees' speciality, wasn't it? To clean the bowl spotless on the outside, but to leave the inside filthy. Or to whitewash the tomb on the outside, but actually for it to be full of dead men's bones. External religion does us no good. In fact, it drags us further from the gospel of grace. It drags us from salvation. But true religion is a matter of the heart. And God is after every heart. Who we are, what makes us tick on the inside, because every issue, every sin can be traced to the root. It's the root which controls the fruit. There is an unbreakable connection, of course, isn't there, between the root of a tree and the fruit of that tree. A rotten root will bring bad fruit. And if you've got a fruit tree in your garden and season after season it produces bad fruit, well, what do you do? Well, what you don't do is after a few clicks get an online delivery of apples and a staple gun and get out in the garden and get stapling them to the tree. Well, don't do that. We wouldn't do that, would we? For one thing, the neighbor's suspicions of us will be confirmed. But mostly, it's absolutely useless. The stapled apples will quickly rot, and there will be no change in the tree. But how much time do we spend presenting and patching up the outer while neglecting the inner? For outer change, there must be inner work going on, because real change, true change, lasting change, always travels through the heart. For there to be change in the fruit, there must be change. There must be work, focus, attention deep in the root. And Jesus came, didn't he, to give new hearts, to convert rebellious hearts, stony towards God, and to replace them with hearts of flesh. Hearts that no longer beat for themselves. Hearts that actually beat for the glory of God. He came to make the fountain of our souls pure. For there to come forth from us a stream of holy living. A life which pursues godliness. A life which fears the Lord. You know, your heart is the nerve center of you. It is your inner parliament. It is the debating chamber. It is the cabinet war room. It's the control tower. It's the manager's office. It's the head study. It's all of these things rolled into one. It controls your behavior, your thinking, your tongue, your mind. Every thought, action, word, wish can be traced back to the source, back to the heart. And God can radically change your heart. He can come in. He can take the driving seat. And for you to be saved, he must do that. Proverbs 3 verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. The problem of the heart is the doubting of our Maker, isn't it? It is that we don't believe him. and then we rebel against him. It's sin. But the position our hearts need to be in is one of trust. Trust in God. And Jesus came. God sent him to rescue us from us, to bring the life-saving transplant we desperately need. So let me ask you this. What is the position of your heart today? What is the condition of your heart, not anyone else's, but your heart before the Lord right now? Has God entered in, making you new? Have you entrusted all you are to him, every fiber of your being to his lordship and rule, so now you live in fear of him and in reference to him? Have you transferred the place of your trust from the riches of this world to the creator of it? From trust maybe in nations, or your nation, or your leader, their ability, or maybe your ability, or maybe a loved one, or, Proverbs tells us, from your own understanding, from science, even from vaccines? Are you trusting first and foremost in the Lord? It is all too evident over this past year how frail we really are. We must cast ourselves on the strong one. Trust in the Lord. That doesn't mean simply to acknowledge his existence. It means to submit to him, to get out of the driving seat and let him take the wheel. Let him direct our paths. And a new heart which beats for God is the greatest gift a person can have. It is the most precious gift. And so Proverbs calls us to guard it. Guard the heart. Chapter 4, verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart. Now we guard precious things all the time, don't we? Putting our valuables into the little kind of coded strong box in the hotel room and kind of try not to forget the code. We ask banks to guard our money. We guard the crown jewels with the latest tech and a lot of concrete. But above all else, we are to guard our hearts because they are far more precious. They should not be left unguarded because we are not out of the woods yet. The possibility of sin remains in the believer, and there is an enemy who never rests. So David says, Psalm 51, verse 3, I know my transgressions. My sins are before me. And this is step one of guarding the heart. It is to acknowledge and to confess our sin. To know our transgressions is a very healthy place to be, because sin cannot be dealt with. It cannot be fought against until we have this awareness. There ought to be less sinning in a Christian's life, but more awareness of sin. Because the closer we get to Jesus, the more we see our sin. The closer we get to the light, the more we see the dirt, if you like. The more we say or sing, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. We can be truly great at spotting sin in others and getting wound up by that sin. But we must look into our own hearts, because guarding begins with the acknowledgement and the confession of our sin. And also, step two, if you like, the tracing of our sin to the heart. So Psalm 139, verse 23, David says, search me, O God, know my heart, see if there's any offensive way in me. Find me out, God. But the thing is, he's already said in verse 1, you have searched me, and you do know everything. So it's thought he's implying here, God, I need you to reveal my heart to me. Allow me to see me as you see me. I wonder if we've asked that of God lately. Have you been on your knees asking God to reveal the depths of your heart to you? Asking him to shine the spotlight of his purity on your inner being, enabling you to trace your sinful tendencies to the source in the heart. Jeremiah 17 verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and it is desperately sick. Who can understand it? And the answer, of course, is not one of us. So we need God to show us our hearts. We guard our hearts as well by forsaking sin. And this really is what repentance is. It is to abandon sin. Not just with words, certainly not with crocodile tears, but to go and sin no more. That is what turning is. Isaiah 55, let the wicked man forsake his ways and turn to the Lord. And forsake we must, and forsaking involves fighting sin, like Jesus tells us to. Those strong words in the gospel, whatever is calling us to stumble, we are to deal with radically. Remember what he says, if it's your eye, we'll pluck it out. If it's your arm, cut it off. Because it's better to lose a part of you than the whole of us. Such is the importance of living in purity and holiness before God. Now, Jesus, of course, is not saying that we literally remove a body part. His point is deal with it, forsake it, abandon it in life. Abandon that sin, starve it to death. Whatever it takes to get it out, get it out. Now, I don't know anyone who enjoys weeding the garden. It's one of those activities, I suppose a bit like cleaning, that isn't kind of much fun, and it never ends as well. But to guard our hearts, we've got to get in there to the root and seek to remove that stubborn root. Paul says, doesn't he, I buffet my body. I make it my slave. I beat my flesh black and blue until in the power of the Spirit, I resist sin. Do you know this fight? And do you know it is a fight to the finish? There's no let up until glory. Just ask a godly older saint. It's a fight to the end, through fellowship, through prayer, through the word. So Proverbs again tells us about the heart. Chapter 3 verse 1, keep my commands in your heart. 3 verse 3, write my commands on the tablet of your heart. 4 verse 4, take hold of God's word with all your heart. This is a fight God wins for us by empowering and strengthening us to not fall into temptation. And he's the one who delivers us from evil and enables us. The Proverbs 20 verse 5, the purposes of a person's heart are deep waters, but the one who has insight draws them out. They get into those waters. They swim around. They take time. They are careful. They watch. They guard their hearts. Does that describe you? Are you watchful over your heart? Are you a careful Christian? It is all too easy to be neutral to sin at times, isn't it? And to succumb to the pressures of enticements, the pull of the world. And we give in too easily at times. Are you someone who gives in too easily to sin? Well, the heart of a human problem is the problem of the heart. So we must watch over our hearts with all diligence, for from it flows the issues of life, the reality of who you are and what you are. All of it is found in your heart. The most important thing in your life is that your heart is pure, that your heart is clean, that you be passionate towards God, loving Him more than any sin, more than anything this world has to offer. There is no other way to live. Trust in the Lord with all your heart today. Get guarding, above all else, your heart today. Praise God for His word. Do join in this song. O great God of highest heaven, occupy my lowly heart. Own it all. Reign supreme. Do join in, and then afterwards I'll lead us in a closing prayer. Pray together. Father, we make such an error at times of thinking that our new heart, as wonderful and as glorious as it is therefore just fine to be left. And we leave ourselves open and exposed to any number of sins and difficulties that come our way. Father, make us diligent Christians. Get us thinking, praying, seeking for our hearts to be increasingly as you would want them to be. You have saved your people. You have given us new hearts. Let us live with these new hearts. Let us join you in your work in us, to be making us more pure and holy, to be sanctifying us, that we may bring you glory, that we might live for you, that we might honor you in every sense, that we wouldn't be dragged and stumbling in our lives through sin and different things, because we are neglectful of our hearts, but we pray that they would have a steady trust in you and that we would seek with your help to guard our hearts. We praise you for our time. Praise you for your word. It speaks to us. It is so insightful. And it is exactly what we need. Let it stay, find a place in our hearts, and grow. There we pray. Amen.